Vayigash, there is a pasuk which the Tanoim and the Mekubalim place a lot of stress on. A very simple pasuk. When Yaakov was afraid to go down to Mitzrayim, so he had a Marah Nevuah that night. Vayom Elokim Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu b'Maras Halayla, said, "Don't be afraid. Al tira meridoy Mitzrayim. Don't be worried about going down to Mitzrayim." He was very nervous. He was bringing korbanos. His father Yitzchak Avinu never left Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak was an oilek tmila. Yitzchak was brought on the Akedah, so he had the status like the korbanos. So he wasn't permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael. The pasuk says that Yaakov brought korbanos lelekei aviv Yitzchak. He brought korbanos to the God of his father Yitzchak, and he was praying and hoping that he wouldn't have to go to Mitzrayim. He wanted to stay in Eretz Yisrael like his father Yitzchak stayed in Eretz Yisrael. But the Baruch Hashem said, "No, sorry. You have to go to Golos Mitzrayim. Al tira medor Mitzrayim. Don't be worried about it. To the great God, Asim Hashem." And then Hashem tells him, "Anochi eridim from Mitzrayim, anochi al chogam alam. I will go down with you to Mitzrayim, and I will bring you up." What does the pasuk mean? "I will go down with you to Mitzrayim." So the pasuk says, "The pasuk is, I will protect you on your way down to Mitzrayim." Does it mean that the Baruch Hashem is going to stay in Golos Mitzrayim also? Doesn't really say. "I'll take you. I'll protect you on the way there. Anochi al chogam alam. I'll protect Kol Yisrael on the way back from Mitzrayim into Eretz Yisrael." So the Tanoim comment on that pasuk, the Mechilta says, and the Gemara has like that. But this pasuk tells us the side of Golos Hashchina. Famous expression, Golos Hashchina. The Shchinta de Golusa, the Shchina is also in Golos. And the Medrash comments on the pasuk when Moshe Rabbeinu had the Marah HaNevuah for the first time, he saw the snare, Boer Boesh, a snare, and then called the thorn bush was burning and it wasn't consumed. So the fire that burns and enlightens and doesn't consume was the Shchina. Every other fire consumes whatever is burning. And this was a Gila Shechina that he had, that's why it wasn't burning. So it was a Gila Shechina, so what did it have to be on a snare? It's not that the bush was burning. It wasn't the burning bush. There was a Gila Shechina on top of the bush. So why didn't the Gila Shechina be in the middle of nowhere? What's up on a bush? Why not on a nice tree? So the Medrash says, and that Pasuk Rashi quotes it to demonstrate that the Shechina was also the Golusa, like a thorn bush hurts when you stick yourself on it. So the Shechina was Kivayoch of being hurt when it was in gold. So what's the pshat, the Shechina the Golusa? What does that mean? So the Gemara has one kavana, what Shchinta the Golusa means, and then the Mekubalim take this and they present it on a different, a whole different level. The Gemara presents it in the following sense. The Gemara has in the first parak in Chagiga a contradiction between two psukim. One pasuk says, "Hoy v'od elafam of oiz v'chel v'vim koyma." In the Baruch Shalom, everything is levedik freilach. There's no atzus. Ein atzus l'fnei hakadosh baruch. Never any sadness. Everything is happy and gay. The other pasuk says, "B'mistarim tikkinavshi," that the Baruch Hashem is crying his heart out. "B'mistarim," so it's a contradiction. Is he always happy? Or is he sick? Is there any atzus with me? I'm looking. So the Gemara says, "Loi kashi," there's no contradiction. "Kambi bote gavoi," "Kambi bote baroi." It depends whether you're in the inner chamber or in the outer chamber. So the Darshanim, whenever they speak about the Rabbanim and they speak about Derech Hadrusha, the Gemara says, they always misquote the Gemara, and they always say it like this. In the inner chamber, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is always happy. The Rebbeinu Shlomo knows what's going on, so he's always happy, always free. How do other people always chedra? Always chedra and pizza and wine is always happy. And then the Bote Gavoy in the outer room, sometimes there's a little sadness. But really, in the presence of the Rebbeinu Shlomo, there's always happiness. So the Meshech Chochma points out, and the Simcha, the Seifan Chumash points out, if you read the Gemara, Kipshuta, the Gemara says just the reverse. The Gemara means to say a different thing. When the world is collapsing, when the Nazis are killing the Jews, when the persecution started throughout the Russian Torah, throughout all the generations, it looks as if the Rebbeinu Shlomo doesn't give a hang. Everything is going on, the Shechina is there, and he doesn't care what's happening in the world. He's happy about everything. Is that really so? So the Gemara says, that's just the Bati Baroi. That's on the outside. The superficial impression is that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is happy about his world and he lets everything go and he doesn't care about Chayei Torah. But the Mistorim, in the innermost chamber, the Pasuk says, the Mistorim, the Bote Gavoi, Ali B'demis, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is crying his heart out. He is unhappy about what's happening in the world. He's very sad about the Tzadik V'Ra'al Rosh B'Torah. The superficial impression that he conveys is that he doesn't care. He doesn't want him to shine a table. But Ali B'demis, it really hurts him. Whatever that means, whatever it hurts him, he feels bad about it. It's hard to say on the Shonis. But that's what the Gemara is driving. So that's the simple pshat what the Gemara says, that this Golos Hashchina, it's not that the Yidden are suffering in Golos, and the Rebbeinu Shlomo couldn't care less. The world just keeps on going on. The world can come to an end, and the Rebbeinu Shlomo doesn't care. No, it's not true. The Emes Rebbe says that Shchinta the Galusa. The Shchina is also in Galus. And the Shchina is in the thorn bush, in the snare. And the Shchina is hurt, the Baruch Shalom also. It hurts him. And the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, and what happens when the Eden are suffering? So the Baruch Shalom says, Kalani Mireishi, Kalani Mizrahi. I have a headache, my arm hurts, my body hurts, I'm faint, I'm weak, I don't feel it. Even the Baruch Shalom has arms, he has feet, he has hands. No, it means, Kivayachal, that he does feel bad about what's happening. That's the Pashup Shat that the Gemara is saying. That there's a Shchinta the Galusa, that the Baruch Shalom does feel bad about what's happening. But he doesn't give any outward simonim to this effect. The Mekubalim use the same term, Shchinta the Galusa, Galus HaShchina, but they use it in a completely different sense. The Mekubalim discuss the talent. We have a Mishnah in Chayre that says, Ayotze min atame is tame, and Ayotze min atohar is tame. If you have a cow in the kosher animal, and you milk the cow, so the cow's milk is kosher, so you're allowed to drink. But if you have a pig, a silk and a pig is a behemoth made, so if you take milk from the pigs, Ayotze min atame is tame. The same is true eggs. The eggs that come out from chickens, so hen is an egg, so the egg is kosher, so the chicken is kosher. And if you have an eagle, or you have an ostrich, and it lays an egg, so we learn that from a pasuk, it's bas hayana. Not only the yana is trained, not only the ostrich, the bas hayana. What's the bas? Hayana has a bas. So the Gemara says, yeah, the bas hayana refers to the beitz ha'seif tummy, the eggs that a trait of bird lays. And not only the sar ha'seif tummy trait, ayotze min ha'tummy is also trait. So the Mishnah has such an expression. Ayotze min ha'tummy is tummy. Whatever comes out from a non-kosher animal, the milk or the eggs or whatever, whatever comes from the kosher animal is kosher. So the Kabbalim have a malitzia, so they say based on that Mishnah and Chayrus, Ayotze min ha'tahor, tahor. So the Rabban Shalom was a tahor, Rabban Shalom was a kodesh, and he created the whole world, so the whole world emanated from the Rabban Shalom, from the Shechina. So everything in the world is Ayotze min ha'tahor, everything is Ayotze min ha'kodesh, so everything in the world has kedusha. Everything in the world has kedusha, but there are so many things that we say are tame, so many things that are lesser. What do you mean it has kedusha? There are so many things in the world that are powerless, neutral, neither here nor there. What do you mean everything has kedusha? So the answer is no, that there are nitzotzes of kedusha in everything in the world. If the Rabban Shalom is a kodesh, or whatever he creates, the hechrech has to have a kedusha. It's just if it's more obvious that it has kedusha, then we call it kodesh. If it's not obvious that it has kedusha, then we call it chol. But there's nothing really in the world that's chol. Everything is kodesh. There are different levels of kedusha. That's why the halacha stresses so much that Shabbos has a higher kedusha than Yom Kippur, which in turn has a higher kedusha than Yom Tov, which in turn has a higher kedusha than Chol HaMoed. And Tefillah Shel Rosh has a higher kedusha than Tefillah Shel Yad. And the Sefer Torah has more kedusha than a mezuzah. A mezuzah and a tefillah is all machlokes. It's Babel and Yisham, which has more kedusha. Kevav, why do you have such chiluk and din? It's not pashut. There's kedush and there's chol. Everything that's kedush is kedush. Everything that's chol is chol. The answer is no. Everything is kedush. The chol is also kedush. So when you say that there's kodesh and chol, you're right away saying that there are two levels of kedusha. There's a kedusha chala, a kedusha chamura, and there's a kedusha kala. So right away, the what's given in the world is when you know that there's kodesh and chol. The chol doesn't mean chol. Chol also means kodesh. If it's created by the Rebbeinu Shlomo, who is a kodesh, Hayotze min ha'kodesh is kodesh. Everything has kedusha except that it's a kodesh kala. So there's a kodesh chamura and a kodesh kala. We have many levels of kedusha chala, kedusha kala, kedusha chamura. So the Mekubalim speak about the Melech Osir Barahotim, the king who is locked up in prison. The Shechina is imprisoned in everything in the world. The Shechina. There are the curses of Kedusha and everything. That's what they quote from the Baal Shem, that even the Dayanim, even the racks, have an Neshama. Martin Buber wrote a whole book about Ayin Das. He talks about a relationship with the Dayanim. It's a little bit burned the tail in there. He's basing the whole thing on the Baal Shem. The Baal Shem is meant not to pass through, but it doesn't always affect it. It's not a Chiddush. But all the Mekubalim say is that everything in the world has a Kedusha. Everything has the phases of Kedusha because it's created by the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And Ayotze min ha'kodesh is Kodesh. The only question is, do you use those phases of Kedusha and make something Kodesh out of it or not? They tell a story about one of the Dalzer Rebbes from Europe, that one of his Hasidim was a Sefer. So he came to the Rebbe and he told the Rebbe he's very mocked and he goes, when he writes his returns for the mezuzahs and the doctor can this and that and the other thing. And he has another chumrah that although the Gemara said that you're permitted to use the parchment from, you can only use parchment that's made from a kosher animal. You can't use from a horse or from a pig or anything. But you may use from a cow, even if the cow never had a kosher shvita. Even if it's in a snabla, an avela, or a trefa, you may still use that parchment. So this chas told the Rebbe that he's very medactive, he's machmir, that he not only uses, of course, from a kosher animal, he uses dafka from a Glatt kosher, Rav Amadai, glatt kosher a shtipe, he doesn't use the beggars and traders, and he doesn't use plain shtipe. So the Rebbe recommended he should do fakir, he should have to use from the beggars and traders. He gave him a reason why. So he said that the animals that had a kosher shtipe, so that animal has a tikkun. That's a Hasidus, they talk that everything in the world should have a tikkun. It means that there are mitzvahs of kedusha and everything, and everything should be used to get the kedusha out of it. So the animals that had kosher shtipe, so the sheikh took his off that bracha. And then the balabatim are going to eat the flesh, so they're going to say Rosh Hashanah, they're going to say burn the fishes. And when they eat it and they absorb it in their systems, it's going to help them do Avodas Hashem. They'll be able to learn the mitzvahs and nice and tight based on his flesh. Never if the animal that never had a shechitah kshera, it's an availer, or there was a trefer, turned out it's a trefer, so it's not going to have its tikkun. So it's a rachmanis on such an animal. So you should make a tikkun on an animal, bedavti, you should use the parchment from the availers and the trefers that never had the tikkun, you should use those in terms of sabadusha and use them in the service of Avodas Hashem. So this is what Mekubalim refer to when they speak of Golas HaShchinah. It's not the same as the Gemara means. It's the same words, but it's a whole different concept. The Gemara speaks of Golas HaShchinah in the sense that the Ribbono Shel Olam does care what's happening. Although it looks like he doesn't give a hang, he doesn't bother him. The Ribbono Shel Olam is up there in heaven and he doesn't care. He doesn't know what's going on, doesn't care. So the Gemara says, Chas v'shalom, that's clearing. He knows and he cares and it hurts him. And he's pained, not only when Bnei Yisrael are in Golus, whenever anybody suffers. That's how the Gemara uses the term Shechinah v'Golus, and the Golus HaShechinah. And the Kabbalim use it in a completely different sense. Okay, Shechinah and Golus all over in wood and tables and chairs and stones. But there's a neshama, to every donor, most every stone has a neshama. And you have to use those in terms of some kedusha to bring out some divine mitzvah with it, that everything should serve in Avodas Hashem. And this is all based on this passage that Anochi Yerid Ibn from Mitzrayim. The Rebbe Shlom said he too will go on to go. The Parshas Vayigash is a famous passage. Rashi has a comment at the beginning of Shishi. The Torah tells us that when Yaakov Avinu was about to go to Eretz Mitzrayim, so he sent Yehuda first. Yehuda Shalach, Lefanav Ares, Lefanav Ares, Lefanav Goshna. So the very last address, so the simple pshat is that Yehuda was a real estate agent from all the brothers. He was a tikeach, he knew where to buy real estate to make sure they're not going to charge too much, he's going to fix everything up. The pasuk pshat. Ares, Lefanav Goshna, to prepare everything. The Rashi quotes on Medrash, Medrash Agadah, Lehoris is Miloshin Hayor, that he established the yeshiva. The second of the Talmud should Hashem take the halo. That they sent Yehuda to establish the yeshiva before they come. Not that they should come and then move in and then start to make yeshiva. The yeshiva should be there day number one. When they come, they should already have yeshiva. What's the yeshiva? Should buy a building, okay? He should prepare the yeshiva. The building before they come. What is the significance? What is the significance of establishing the yeshiva? What's time to learn there? What is the significance of establishing the yeshiva before everybody comes? And they'll get to the next yeshiva. So they usually say two timings to this. One time is, the kozman that you live in Eretz Yisrael, so you have one type of society. And it's already all worked out already. When you say talamotan, how you better shlif, and how you do this, how you do that. When you move to Mitzrayim, it's a different month for Talamot instead of Zayin Cheshvan. I don't know when it is, December 5th or whatever. So you have it ready when you bench lift. When you bench lift, you might tell it's a simple thing. When you bench lift in let's say in America, you have electric lights. It's not the same as it was in Al-Tahan. You have to turn off the lights and turn them on again. It's not the way it always used to be. Hanukkah menorah, because everything is different. Whenever you move, not only from Eretz to Chutzpah, but you move from Poland to America, you move from America to Chutzpah. Whenever you move from one country to the other, so everything is different, and you have to reinvestigate all the good. You can't just say, well, the fulfillment of mitzvahs the same way my mother did, the same way my father did. You won't be doing it the same way. The mitzvahs are different. There's going to be a major change. There's going to be loads of shilas. That's the first shot that people say that Lahoris means, Ha'ilosh and Hisham takes your head. You're going to have to pass on a lot of shilas. What's that? They didn't pass on up all the shilas. You didn't do all the shilas that are already on the pasuk. They may have to reopen all the shilas and see if the stock remains the same or not, because the whole material is changed. I don't know. And then there's perhaps another kavana here. Then there's perhaps another kavana that
The Gemara tells us in many places, several places the Gemara has, but there's one specific Gemara in Avraham Eshech. The Gemara says that Min HaTorah one is not permitted to take ribis from Yisrael. You're not permitted to lend the ribis to a Jew. What about to lend to Anochri the ribis? It's permissible. That's the Torah says Anochri says. So the Gemara says, Midrash Rabbanan, they made an Israel, they're not permitted to charge ribis from Anochri. Say these quotes to Rabbi Natam. Rabbi Natam is a money lender by profession. That's how he made a living. So Rabbi Natam says that these things like Maklavi's money is there. He explains why. Based on the Gemara. So the Gemara says that there's a din that Rabbanan is not permitted to lend the ribis to Anochri. Why not? So the Gemara says, not a Gzeira that Rabbanan. Also, Shema Yalvali saw the ribis. The Gemara says, Shela Yuma Dimaita. We're afraid if you'll be allowed to lend the ribis to the Anochri, so you may become. You may become friendly with the Nachri, and you pick up bad habits and start to do Averis like the Nachri. But then that's what the Rabbi Natan says. That only makes sense if you live in a separate society. But the Rabbi Natan says, we do business every day with the Goy. What are you going to tell me? I can't lend the ribbons to the Goy, so what should I do? I don't make a living from the Jews. All the Jews used to make a living with the Goy. They made ships, they made everything. They were always dealing with the Goy. So you're going to punt after lending the ribbons and everything else is going to be mutter. This is easy after everything, so no one will have a panacea. The late there, so you'll have to do everything, but lending the ribbis is not more awesome than anything else. That's the rationale that I've been attending. So the Gemara says here, this thing that one is not permitted to lend the ribbis to Anochi, the Rabbanan, Shalom, and the Maisel, doesn't apply to a Talmud Chacham. Why not? Talmud Chacham, who learns Torah, thinks in learning, will never be Nichshal. He lives in a different society, even though he lives in the same physical society. His mind is thinking about different things. So he will never be Nigrar after the Goyshe, after the Zohar, after the others. And that's over here also, Api Pashti. The Gemara says in many places that Shmiras HaMitzvot that is not enough to prevent assimilation, to protect the Jew who lives in the Golos from joining along with the trend. The only real thing that protects the person. So Yom HaMitzvah is learning Torah. That's what the Torah tells us. The Medrash comments on the Pasuk that Yehuda was sent to establish a yeshiva so that the first day that they come, they should already know that they have a yeshiva, they have a place to learn Torah, and they won't associate with the Goyim. And the Pasuk continues, Goyshma, by the way, like the Goyshma, they stayed separate. They tried to separate themselves. They didn't move in with the Goyim. They lived in a separate place. There's an interesting comment. I was thinking about what to speak about on Hanukkah. Every year I say Shira Chakza. I've used up all the topics. There's nothing left. I was thinking about Hilchas Dreidel. So how many Hilchas Dreidel are there? So I saw the Bnei Yisofcha. There's a whole Arichas on Dreidel. So he says, you think that the Dreidel has the Oikias, Yun Gimel, Kol Shir, Mezah, Dol HaYashah, this is not that Pshat, has the letters of Goishna. The same letters, but he says it's the letters of Goishna, Gimel, Shin, Nun, Hey. And he says, you're not the eighth grade unless it's made from wood. He says, made from plastic is no good, has to be the case. Made from metal is no good. It's made from wood, it gives you a whole time to automate stuff. So he doesn't say, it's not my style. I didn't understand what he was driving at. But he says that the letters on the grade are not Nun Gimel Haitian. It's Goshna implying this process. That the Torah, that they established in Shiva, even though he's playing Dreidel. It's a Yiddish sport. And Hanukkah, you don't play the sports of the country. You want to have a little break? You play a Yiddish sport, everything is different. If you separate from the Goyim, when you live in the Golos, and you live with the Yevonim, the Yevonim live in Israel, you have to be separate from the Goyim in every way. So the Medrash tells us that the best way to be separated was by learning in Torah. So the people would be thinking and learning. It wouldn't be Negro after the night. Rashi quotes an interesting medrash in Parshas Vayigash. Everybody knows the famous Rashi. Rashi quotes part of the medrash, the bigger medrash. The medrash says that when Yosef finally found out who the brothers were, so he said they should bring the whole family down to Mitzrayim. So the pasuk says that Paro sent a golos wagons to take everybody down. And then the pasuk says later that when they told Yaakov Avinu that Yosef is still alive, and he didn't believe them. Anyway, Aaron saw Golos. Oh, then he saw the Golos. I should show off Yosef that Yosef sent any belief. So the Medrash says, what do you mean the Golos that Yosef sent? The person says, the Paro sent the Golos.
So the Medrash says, no, the Agolas of Tarasen had Avodah Zarah and Sigmi Zan. So when Yehuda saw those Agolas, he started to pull a hair out of his head. Well, I'm going to bring Avodah Zarah to my father. He burnt the wagon. And the Medrash says that Lomun who also shaved, they shaved Yehuda, the big Kanoim and Avodah Zarah. Whenever they see anything that has to do with Avodah Zarah, they burn the house down right away. And then the Medrash quote the Pesach in Tilim, the Perek in Tilim about the Mechomis and Eretz Yisrael. Agolos Yisrael Reish. It must be talking about Shevet Yehuda was bringing down Agolos to have to do with Avodah Zarah. So later on when they came to Yankov Avinu, they no longer had the Agolos that were originally sent by Paro. Those were Avodah Zarah. They were full of Avodah Zarah and Limzam, so those were destroyed by Yehuda. And they had Yosef had a substitute other Agolos. So when Yankov Avinu saw the Agolos, with no Avodah Zarah, saw the Agolos of Shalom Yosef, oh, then he believed that it must be Yosef. That's his son, yes, had it. Just because he saw the Agolos, what's the connection from Modna Pasuk? By Yaros Agolos, then he believed it. So Rashi quotes the Medrash that he gave them a simen that only he and the father would know. Nobody else would know. He said, don't tell the father. The last thing that I learned with the father is Parsha Segla Ruf. So the Mephoshim on the Medrash, Rabbi asked, what does Agolos got to do with Eglis? Eglis are animals. Eglis are little kicks, and Agolos are wagons. Well, some of the Mephoshim say the wagon is pulled by a kid. Others say it's a kriya psiv, it's a yeshem amike, yeshem amasaris, even though it says in the Chumash Agolos, but the Darshan is little written Medrash, a shlelevot. The others quote another Medrash, the Daz came in Baliyat Pesach. And the Rashi on the bottom of the Medrash Rabbah, I don't know who it is, somebody quote Rashi. The claim is the Rashi wrote a Pirish on the Medrash Rabbah. Rashi has a different Girish in the Medrash Rabbah. It's not the Egel Arufa, it's the Agolos from the Mishkan. He wasn't learning the last thing. Rashi on Chumash says Egel Arufa. And Rashi and the Medrash Rabbah, the Mephoshim point out, Rashi and the Medrash Rabbah has a different use in the Medrash, like in the other versions, other Kisayan has. He told the brothers, go remind the father, the last parasha I learned with him was the parasha of the Mishkan and the Midbar. Interesting. And then, when Yaakov Avinu heard this, he that was a sinner. Who else would know what was the last thing that he had learned with the son? Yaakov got all excited, and he decided to go down to Mitzrayim. So then the pasuk continues. He's on his way to go down to Mitzrayim. Vayar Sakal Sashal Yosef Moses says about Chiroch Yankov Avinu. Vayar Yisrael, he believed. Vayar Yisrael, the next pasuk says, okay, Elcho Vayavet and Paramount. Vayisa Yisrael Vachor Shalom. He went to Be'er Sheva, and he brought Chavon. What is he doing at Be'er Sheva, the Medrashim? Be'er Sheva's on the way to Mitzrayim, it's a little bit out of the way. And the pasuk says, Vayavu Be'er Sheva, he came to Be'er Sheva on the outskirts of Be'er Sheva. What was on the outskirts of Be'er Sheva? Medrash introduces a new thing. He had to chop down the Atzei Arozim. Avram Avinu says, "Va'it Eishel Be'er Sheva." Avram Avinu planted trees in Be'er Sheva. What did Avram Avinu plant trees for? For the Mishkan. The Tamoz Laila Mishkan in the Midbar. So Yankov Avinu knew. Avram told Yitzchak and told Yankov, and Yankov was learning this parshas. That was the last parsha they learned with Yosef. That's this version of the Medrash. The last parsha he had learned with Yosef was about there's going to be a Mishkan in the Midbar. And Chutzlaret, and it's going to have Atzei Arozim, and they knew that Avraham Avinu had planted in Be'er Sheva, and Yankov Avinu knows that he's going to go into Golis now, and this is the last chance they have to bring their wood. So he went to Be'er Sheva to chop down the trees that Avraham Avinu had planted, and to take them to transport them to Mitzvah. That's how the Medrash says a whole Hemshech HaPsukim over here. That's why he went to Be'er Sheva, chopped down the trees and brought to Mitzvah. So the chop is a little strange over here. That's not this. Yeah. That's what the Agolos were for in the Midbar, to carry the Mishkan when they were traveling. Right. So what's the whole stress over here on the Mishkan? That's interesting. The Medrash has later on, also on this topic, Hashem is well promising. Yeah. This was it. The Atishitim were planted by Avraham who was brought down. This was the Atishitim, this was it. So the Medrash continues, it's a whole Hemshech in the Medrash. The Medrash says, Hashem has brought promises to Yankov Avinu, and Melchi Yerid Infamisam and Melchi Alpha Gam Oloi, the Yosef Yoshis Yodu Alinech. So the Poshep Shad, the Yosef Yoshis Yodu Alinech, is another promise. That's how the Rashbam learned in the first Daf of Yesh Nechlin. The Mishnah says Yesh Nechlin, that when the father dies, the son Yashin is the father. Chatz v'shalom, the reverse is also true. When the son dies and he leaves no children, then the father yashin sin. But that's called a simic klal. The son should die while the father's still alive. That's not a chatz klal. When the father dies and the children yashin him, that's a simic bracha. That the children outlive the parents. That's normal. The children should outlive. So the Ravan quotes and reading, see that that's a bracha that Rav Shlom gave Yaakov Avinu Haftoche. He's going to take, he's going to protect him, aid him for Alpha Gamoloi. And another Haftoch was, the Yosef Yoshis Yadroi Necho, your children will outlive you. None of them will die before you. That's how the Ravan said. This is another Haftoch. But the Medrash Rabbi continues on this passage. No, there's not another Haftoch. This was a condition in the previous Haftoch. Anochi Alpha Gamoloi, on the condition of Yosef Yoshis Yadroi Necho. What kind of a condition is this? A strange condition. So the Sfartanus points out, he thinks that the Pshat is like this. He finds later, also strange midrashimus, you have to put together all the midrashimus. Find later when finally Yankov Avinu meets Yosef. So the prophet describes that the Yosef is crying, and Yankov doesn't say he's crying. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, so Rashi quotes in the Medrash, how come only, they didn't think each other for 22 years. So Yosef is falling to pieces, he's crying, why doesn't Yankov cry also? So Rashi says, Yankov Avinu was busy saying fishes. So how come? Minimum is man Krishna has
been.
So let Yosef also say Krishna. So what he said was sick, and didn't say what he said, what's the pshat? So Marami Prat starts off, he gives up pshat, I'll see Aloha, five times. They were both saying Krishna at the same time, but the din is, one time is of this opinion, we don't pass him. As you're only allowed to be in the middle of Krishna, it's now Yira. So Yosef had a din of Moira over here, he had a be in the middle of Krishna, when his father came, punked in the middle of both saying Krishna. That's how he said pshat. So the Yosef had to be masked with Mea Yirah, to read his father, so he started crying. But the father has no seed of Moira to his son, so Yankov Avinu wasn't allowed to be masked in the middle of Krishna with Mea Kovar of any. Only with Mea Yirah. But he says, we don't pass like that. We don't pass like that time. That can be only be masked with Mea Moira. So what type of Pshat over here? So the Maharam charges the push at the Pshat. He says, what was Yankov saying Krishna? Wasn't that it was Man Krishna? No, they already died before. So it was punk now, it's Man Krishna. In the middle of meeting each other. He says, no, but Yankov Avinu came. Originally, Yaakov Avinu couldn't believe. Thought that Yosef was dead. Then they tell him, no, Yosef is alive. He's a Aflumi. He goes with his trimal, with his tzitzit, with his kapot. Everything a Aflumi even attracts it. So Yaakov Avinu couldn't believe. How could he Aflumi in the chutzlar? All by himself, without the other shvatim. So they tell him, no. He told us a sinin, the Mishkan. But you yourself told him there's going to be a Mishkan chutzlar. He's going to travel around a chutzlar. He's going to be in Golis. Not only there, there's a Mikdash in Eretz Yisrael. This Shriach had a Dusha Samishkan, a Dusha Bay Samigdash traveling around. The Chutzlah in the middle of the Tumas Agolas, the Midbah was Chutzlah. So he said, yeah, yeah, that's right. And he starts to chop down the trees and bring it along, but he was still with Mustuf. So then the Maharami Prat says, when he finally met Yosef, he saw his Takafrum. So he said, Krishna, it wasn't his man Krishna. He was saying, Krishna, from grace is fireless, that his son was separated for 22 years from the other Shvatim, from Eretz Yisrael, and he was still so thrown. Yosef wasn't a spoiler, Yosef wasn't a spoiler about anything. He knows they were from Eden and Eretz Yisrael. Of course they were all from the Eretz HaKadosh, of course they were all from there. Yosef was already living in Israel for so many years, he was used to it. He already worked out of Cheshbon. How he can live in Golos and be a from Yisrael. He didn't have greatest spoilers on this occasion when he met him. He was happy to see his house, it was strong. But Yaakov Avinu, from the greatest spoilers, to see that there's still Yira Shamayim in his son, he said over again Krishna, not because of his monk Krishna, he said over his son, to recover Amal Kishman, that the Halavai, that the Kedushas Yisrael should be Nimsha. So the Sfartanus says he thinks that maybe that's the pshat in the tel of the Gemara that we mentioned before. The Yosef Yoshis Yodor Alinecha, that this wasn't a separate Haftocha, like the Ravan learns by Yeshnocha, this was a Tanai. What do you mean a Tanai? What kind of a Tanai? So some of first man the Medrash Rabbi gives Shreya pshat and they say, Anochi Alcha Gam Oloi, sounds like the Rebbe Shalom is going to take Yankov out alive. He didn't take him out alive, took him out after he died. So he said, no, our Tanai, the Yosef Yoshis Yodon Lecha, you're not going to leave alive, you'll leave Lacha Meres and Shani, you'll leave. You'll be buried in Eretz Yisrael, but you won't come out alive. That's one pshat in the Medrash. But it doesn't seem to be the pshat in the Medrash. Medrash says, our Tanai, Anochi, the Yitzhak and Shani will be, our Tanai, the Yosef Yoshis Yodon Lecha. How does it mean a Tanai? So the Sassana says he thinks it means a different Kavana. If when you'll see that Yosef will be from and he'll be carrying over the tradition of Kedushas Yisrael and Shmiras HaMitzvot, then it'll be shaykh to have Yitzhak Mitzrayim. If the children won't carry over the Kedushas Yisrael, there won't be any Yitzhak Mitzrayim. There won't be anybody to take out later on. And then the self will certainly wasn't a claim. He came and he told himself that Yosef was from. That Yosef is carrying over the Masorah of Kedushas Yisrael that he had. And from great his finals, he got so excited, he said, Krishna, in the middle, because he couldn't believe that his son was so from living for so long away from him. And it did point out that my service in La Bum, that everything that happened to the Hovis and the Tzrayim, history repeats itself. That's what happened. That's what's happening exactly in our Halavai that the Baruch Hu should protect all of our Doros HaSidim, that we should be able to give them the Maaseh of Torah, that we should have an Ochayas HaGam Ola, that the Baruch Hu should give us Ayatiyas Mitzrayim. All of us should go, in our role of his name, we should all be there to the Beit HaMashiach to come to our Kisola, to all of our Nisim.
Pasuk in Parshas Vayigash describes the way Yaakov Avinu is going down to Mitzrayim with his whole family. He has a Mara HaNevuah that Hashem appears to him, and he tells him, "Anochi Yerid Imcha Mitzrayim, Anochi Al Kol Dam Alo. I will go down with you to Mitzrayim, and I will bring you back there to Israel." So the Gemara has a comment on this pasuk. The pasuk is speaking about the theme of Godot HaShchina. That the Shechina says, "Kivayochel," as if he's going into Mitzrayim. He's going to go together with Yaakov Avinu. What exactly does this mean, that there's an idea of Golos HaShchina? So some portion on the Gemara explain it as follows, that there is a Gemara in Makos, the Talmud Shagolo, when you send the Talmud, let's say, there is a Gemara of Golos, Rahman Lassan, someone is a Horeb B'Shogeg, somebody's Horeb B'Mezi, so he gives him Miso, someone is Horeb B'Shogeg, so we send him to Ori Miklo. But the Pasuk says, regarding Ori Miklo, you send him away to the Ori Miklo of Bachai Shoma, and he should live there. It's not supposed to be intended as an upcoming, that he should suffer there in the realm of what? It's supposed to be a comfortable place. He's supposed to go into Kol, so it's supposed to be comfortable. So the Gemara says, Talmud Shagolo, if a Talmud from a yeshiva is sent into Golo, modeling the Rabbo Imam, then you have to send the Rebbe, you have to establish a yeshiva there, because if he's going to, a person is interested in learning, he won't have a yeshiva, he'll go off his mind, he'll be miserable, and it says, V'chai Shoma, he's supposed to enjoy living there. He's not supposed to suffer. Achreis, let's say today, you won't have any television there, you won't have any radios, you won't have any newspapers, you won't have any libraries, he'll go off his mind. So in the Ori Miklo, it has to be convenient, you have to have a comfortable place, that's Allah V'chai Shoma. The Gemara Taka says, based on this din, that it's forbidden to say a shir to a Talmud Shema Hogun. The Talmud is not thrown because he may kill somebody with shaking, and then the Rebbe will have to go into Golos. Therefore, the Gemara says the Rebbe has to be very picky whom he has as his coming. The Sama Forshma on the Gemara says that that's the idea of Golos HaShchina, that when the Rebbe Shalom sends us into Golos, it doesn't mean he wants us to suffer, he wants us, it's a punishment. Golos HaShchina, Golos HaBnei Yisrael is a punishment, but it's not a punishment that we should suffer there in Chutz Loretz on Ashir. No! Mitamot, it should be a suffering with a limit. So that's why Magdalen, the Rabbi Imo, so the Shechina has to go together with Bnei Yisrael to make it a little more comfortable. It shouldn't be too miserable. That's a Sama Fashim Seal Derech Hapsham. What is the whole idea of Golos HaShechina? So in the Kabbalah Svarim, the Balatanya quotes from Kabbalah Svarim, that it means something completely different. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kaddish. Yes, I have a cloud. Hayyotim and Atahar is Tahar. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is a Kodesh, but he creates that Kiddushin. We don't assume like that. We say that it's Kodesh and Chol. We say Havdolah, Hamabdin, Kodesh, Lechol. It doesn't really mean Chol. It means that some things are Kodesh Chom and some things are Kodesh Kal. You don't have everything is Kodesh and Chol. You have Shabbos is more Kodesh than Yom Kippur, and Kippur is more Kodesh than Yom Kippur. And then you have Shum Shal Yad, and Shum Shal Rosh, Shal Rosh has more Kiddushin than Shal Yad, and you have Shumas, Maishas, you have different Madregis of Kiddushin. As the Kedushas in Eretz Yisrael, different levels of Kedushas based on Mikdash, there are different levels of Kodesh. The lowest level of Kodesh we call Chol. But it doesn't really mean that it's Chol, it means that it's a very low level of Kodesh. It can't be Chol. If the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, and he created all the things in the world, so everything that he creates has to, by definition, has to be Kodesh. And it's a lower level of Kedush. So the Kabbalah Svarim speak about Kedush being all over in the world, and the Ribbono Shel Olam created everything with Mitzvot HaKedusha, the properties of Kedusha, even Chol, everything has its sacred of Kedusha, so that everybody should use all of these things for purposes of Kedusha. And everything in the world only has its fulfillment of its existence if it's involved in mitzvahs, and Eisen Tevim, and in Yimei HaTorah, or whatever, it serves some function if the Kedusha, if the mitzvahs of Kedusha that are in it, are used for some valuable purpose, that it shouldn't be, you shouldn't have a wasted existence. This is what the theme of Golos HaShchina means in Kabbalah Svarim. It means that there is a Shechina that's in Golos all over and all objects in the world. That doesn't only mean when the Jewish nation is in Golos, the Shechina is with us to protect us.
like when you send somebody into our mikvah, so you make it comfortable for him. So the Rebbe goes along. Even when the Jewish nation lives in Eretz Yisrael, as long as you sell Sharim al Admatim, there's still a thing, there's still an idea of Golas Hashchina. What it means is that there's a Kedusha, there's a latent, hidden Kedusha in all of the world. In Eretz Yisrael, there's Kedusha in the Divrei Chol. The lowest level of Kodesh we call Chol. That's called the Golas Hashchina. The Kabbalah Swami refers you to the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Melech Asur Barahatim. That the king is arrested, that there's a Shechina that has, that giving Kedusha to all the things in the world that's not being used for anything. So that's what's called Golas Hashchina. And we are told to try to use all of these things, all of these inserts of Kedusha that are all over the world for purposes of mitzvah. Moshe, the Gemara has a Lashon in the first parak of Bava Kamma. We're learning Bava Kamma now in the Torah. The Gemara has a Lashon, when you shech the behemoth, you say a bracha before you shech. Let's say a behemoth drops dead on its own. So the Gemara calls it Arura. It didn't have a bracha. So the Gemara calls Yavi Arura Ledezni. We should bring the curses. It's not a curse at all. It means it didn't have a blessing recited over it. A behemoth that you shecht and you said a bracha. Oh! So you use the behemoth to do a mitzvah. So you said a bracha. So you shecht to the behemoth. And the flesh is going to be eaten by a person who will now have koyach to do a mitzvah, to learn, to do avodas Hashem, to daven, to do something properly. Everything in the world has mitzvahs and kedusha, and we always try to use whatever possible in avodas Hashem. And in the middle, everything then will have its purpose and its fulfillment. That's the idea of Golas Hashkin and Kabbalah. Right. In this week's Medrash, Rashi quotes the Medrash that even though Yosef interpreted the Chalomes of Paro, that there's going to be 7 bad years, there's going to be a row for 7 years, Rashi quotes the Medrash that after 2 years Yankov Avinu came and got a bracha, and that was the end of the row. So the Kedushas Levi is bothered with the problem, but he touched Tais and Nevuah. What happened to the Nevuah? It wasn't fulfilled. What happened to the Nevuah? It wasn't fulfilled. Sometimes you have the Ramah Nice and the Arab Hazok, he quotes from the Gemara Shabbos that if a Novi tells him, let's say, Yoyna Novi gave in a Nevuah, that's understood, only if they don't do tshuva. If they do tshuva, they won't be punished. But here, nobody did any tshuva. It's just a tzarek and giyam abracha. So what happened to the nevuah? I mean, all nevuahs are just totally I made, and whether the tzarek is gonna break the gzeir, so then no nevuah means anything then. The toivah leroah, nothing means anything then. So what says the nevuah? So the Kedushas Levi has an interpretation. He's bothered with another kasha. When Paro told the Chalomis to Yosef, so Yosef interprets the Chalomis and he gives them an answer. Yes. He says, Yere Paro, you should appoint a wise, intelligent person. So it sounds like he wants the job. And then Paro says, oh, you're the one. Sounds like that's the pshat. So he's bothered with the kasha. What is he giving Paro an answer for? So I would have won Pasha pshat. He wanted to get a job. He gave him a job at work. He gave him still kitchen at work. So he says no, he doesn't think that. He thinks that Yosef was interpreting the Mar HaNevuah. And when he said, Yere Paro, you should appoint an Ish Chacham and Avraham, he didn't mean him. He meant his father. He meant Yankel Avinu. He meant you need a tzaddik to give a bracha. What was he interpreting in the Mar HaNevuah? So he claims, the Kedusha Slayer, the Yitzchak Bar Ditchev, claims that he thinks that that's the pshat in the Pasuk, that it says, Paro Oymed Al Hayor, or Paro Oymed Al Sas Hayor. So Yosef HaTzadik interpreted everything in the Cholim, the 6, the number 7, and the fat and the skin, everything. He didn't explain why was it Al HaYor, how did the Yor fit in? So the Kedusha Slavi thinks that that's the Taich, that the Yor represents the Parnasa of Eretz Mitzrayim. That the Rashi quotes, the Yor used to rise and go into all of the
fields,
in the fields, and one of them. So there was something missing over here, that it's some kind of a brocha shayach for parnasa here, something to do with the yor, with the cholam that he didn't interpret. So Yosef says, yes, there is a way to break. He told him the whole nevuah, 7 good years, 7 bad years, and he says that there's a brocha for parnasa here, that par is oymen al ayor, but he par himself is unable to get the yor. He can't get the water. You need a great tzaddik. Appoint a great tzaddik, and the other part of the nevuah, the other part of the cholam will also be mekuyim. He didn't mean himself. Paro thought that he's an intelligent man, he's going to appoint him, but he didn't mean himself on the tzaddik. But later, when Yankov Avinu came to Mitzrayim and he introduced Yankov to Paro, Yankov gave the bracha, so he says that was the kiyum of that part of the nevuah. That's what he interprets. Then he has a ha'orah. Then he says, Yosef is also a tzaddik, so why couldn't Yosef give the bracha? Why do we have to come on? What's the dachon coming to the bracha? That's what he says, that Yosef was kafuf to Paro. that he says his bracha wouldn't work. You had to have a man who wasn't kosher to tzara. Had to have Dafke Yankov Avinu, and then his bracha had to was fulfilled. But the Gemara says tzara goes to Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mekarev.
The major issue is this.
Let's close with a brief comment. There's a famous passage in Parshas Vayigash, the way Yosef told the brothers to go back to the father in Eretz Yisrael, and they should pack everything up and come to Eretz Yisrael. So the passage describes the way Yaakov Avinu sent Yehuda first by Shishi. He says, Yehuda shalach lefanav al Yosef lehoras lefanav goshna. What is the horas lefanav? What is he going to show the way? Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Lahoris Lashon Hayra, to establish a yeshiva. What do they need a yeshiva when they'll get there and make a yeshiva? They're so worried about the Eichel Torah that when they come there, the children shouldn't be Mevat Torah, for one day the kids are going to be Mevat Lenin, they're going to have to be unpacking and everything. Because they're so nervous about the Eichel Torah. So the Mefarshim explained that it doesn't mean that. When you go into Golus, and your whole society, the whole group of people that you're working with are completely different, all the circumstances of living are different, you have to have a yeshiva to make sure that you keep yourself firm, to make sure that you observe the mitzvahs properly, because you can't just follow in the footsteps of your forefathers. That the way my mother did it, the way my father did it, that's the way I'll continue to do. You live in a whole different world. It's a whole different world, so you can't just do what your father did. They pulled out the rug from under you. It's a different world. Nothing is the same as it used to be. The person has to learn a lot of Torah in order to know how to fulfill the maser of his forefathers when it comes to a new country. We don't have to go to a new country. They keep on pulling out the rug from under our feet. We live in just changing times. From one week to the next, there's already a different world. From one day to the next, then gone to a different world. The person has to do a lot of learning in order to know how to carry over the tradition of his forefathers. Some people think that they're very traditional because they go with these kind of stockings and these kind of shoes and these kind of hats and these kind of jackets. Is that the ikar of the tradition of our forefathers? Also part of it, maybe that's also part of it. But you have to know how to learn to know what is part of the tradition, what's not part of the tradition. You have to know how to keep the mitzvahs, how to learn Torah and Tzav. So that's what we who live in Golos have to keep in mind, especially in such a changing Golos, such times that everything is changing. You live in Golos in a non-Jewish society, you have to know that only by learning Torah can a person remember what the Masorah of his forefathers is in order to be able to keep it up.
On the parsha, in the beginning of parsha's Vayigash, the Torah describes the way Yaakov Avinu is going down to Mitzrayim, and he's very nervous to go into Golos. He doesn't want to go into Chutzlot. He would rather stay in Eretz Yisrael with the Kedusha Sol. So the Rebbe Shlom promises him, you shouldn't worry, there's going to be Shechinta B'Golos, he's going to help out the Kol Yisrael. And he says, the Yosef Yashis Yodai Alinechem. What does that mean? It means that Yosef will bury you. What does that mean? So the Rashbam writes in the beginning of Yesh Neuchlin, says that if the father dies, the son yarshens the father. If the son dies and the father is alive, then the father yarshens the son. So the Rashbam interprets there on the Gemara that the father dies and the son yarshens, that's normal. The son dies and the father yarshens the son, that's not a normal thing that occurs. So you quote that this passage says that the Baruch Hashem is giving a blessing to Yaakov Avinu, that you will die before your child, your children will bury you. The cover of the Sefer, so everything will go b'derech hatel, a normal way. So the Bach in Aruch Chaim quotes an interesting comment from the Maharil. The Maharil on Hilchos Rosh Hashanah writes that once on Rosh Hashanah he decided to change the minute. That instead of saying a certain piyut, he didn't leave out the piyut chalila, but instead of saying the piyut over here, he said the piyut over there. But yes, when we shot all of them, we leave out all of the youth and we change everything around. The Maharil, this never occurred to him to leave that. He decided instead of over here, he's going to stay it over there. And then a few months later, his daughter died. And he attributed the death of the daughter to the fact that it was Mashana the minute. So the Bach quotes this in the Siman of Piyutim. In Aruch Chaim, it says, Machloek is over, you're allowed to say Piyutim, you're not allowed to say Piyutim. He quotes, look, the Maharil writes in Mashana the minute, what terrible Einish occurred. So I was thinking, the halacha that the Rebbe Shlom gave Yaakov Avinu perhaps was the following: the Yosef Yashis Yadav Aleinecha, that you will be blessed with the ability to transmit the Masorah to your children. That to give over Minhogim is part of giving over the Masorah.
if a person observes, why was this an Einish Midi connected Midi? The Maru was Mishana, the Makam of the Pia, so that's why his daughter died. What's the connection? What's the Shaykh over here? So I thought there is a connection, that the idea of Minhagim, the idea is transmitting Masara to one's children. If a person doesn't wholesome transmitting the Masara, each guy has direct from heaven. The religion starts from me. I'm going to make my own religion, Min HaShemayim. I'm going to study the Gemara and develop a new religion based on my own. So you don't believe in Masara, so you don't need any children. Did the Rebbe Shalom take away your children? Did the Rebbe Shalom give you children to be able to transmit the Masara to your children? So I thought perhaps that's what the Pasuk means, that you will succeed in transmitting the Masara to your children. I remember years ago when the Satmar Rebbe, the Chaim Rebbe, passed away, I remember in the summertime, he died in the middle of the summer though, in the summertime from the place where I was, in Tannersville, so a few Satmar Hasidim went into New York to go to Levi. I didn't go, I had very little shackles with the Satmar, but some of the people went. I remember when they came back, so they were discussing what a great tzaddik the Satmar Rebbe was and so on, so somebody mentioned the fact that he had no children. And he had a daughter who died, she had no children, so he left no children. Someone else said, the Lubavitcher Rebbe has no children. So somebody showed me at that time in Shul, they showed me the Blei Yitzchak Berditcher, the right in the Kedusha Slei Chumash. I don't remember where. I have to ask Chassidus in the summer, I don't know. He showed me in the Kedusha Slei Chumash, he writes that sometimes the Rebbe Shalom puts a tzaddik in a generation, but he doesn't really belong. The Derech HaTeva does not, there's no Hishtashulus HaDorot. He didn't get what he has, this great tzaddik, didn't get what he has from the previous generation. He's not transmitting to the next. The Rebbe Shalom put him into the door, like forcing him in to give an injection of chiyus to the generation. So the Kedusha Slei writes, such a tzaddik won't have any children, because he doesn't fit into the door. He doesn't fit into the Hemshech HaDorot. I thought perhaps this is the Kavona, what the Torah says, that there's supposed to be a Hemshech HaDorot for the purpose of giving all the Masara. And the people that don't fit into the Masara either because they're above this Masara. They were put in, they were taken, Menachut, the Bar Shalom picked them out and just threw them, plopped them into the door. Our person doesn't believe in Masara. So people like that won't have this bracha of Yoshit Yadav. Could be that that's where the Kedusha Slevi has it. It could be that that's where they have that.
So in the middle, I was looking through, I was flipping the pages, I came through it. He has a Dvar Torah on Parshas Vayigash. It's a very interesting comment. The Pasuk says in this week's Sedra that when Yosef finally reveals himself to the brothers and he says, go back, tell the father that I'm alive and bring him back, so it says, Yaviv Shalach Kizos, Asarach Amorim Osteed Mitu Mitzroim. He was taking the best thing that they had from the time to bring back to the father. So the Gemara in Megillah, Rashi Yachomish quotes from the Gemara in Megillah, Dr. Zayin and Grace, Gemara in Megillah says it refers to Shalach Yayin Yosham. The old wine that tastes delicious, that older people enjoy the flavor of older wine. So here, you don't find anywhere in classical sources that Eretz Yisrael was noted for its wine. Forget Eretz Yisrael, it's one of the minim shem shtat from Eretz Yisrael, it's wine. Gets and tainim, and wine is Eretz. In Mitzrayim, you find sukkim in Yecheskel and Yeshai different sukkim. Mitzrayim is noted for cotton, for flax, other things.
Cool,
not for wine.
Same cows. Yeah. Horses,
other things, cows, yeah. Horses, sukkim, cows, sukkim, for. Where do you find out this wine? So Ababel HaTakvel wrote this Adam Godel, he wrote a letter to someone, so he printed the letter in his safe, he has it here. He says, the pshat is like this, the pasuk in Yeshai refers to the Mitzrayim as Rashi quotes at the end of Parshas Vayeshu, it says, Ashrei ha'isha shesam Hashem eftach v'lefona al rehovim v'satei chazor. So the Mitzrayim are referred to as rehovim in more than one place. But the Mishai also they refer to as rehovim. Rehovim means very arrogant people. So the Mitzrayim are considered very arrogant people for some reason or another. So, in the days of the Tanakh they were extremely arrogant. So there's a Gemara in Baba Basa that started cares. Given our book, it is a Babel of Hashem. Gemara in Baba Basa started cares. Speaks about how terrible it is about the Midah, Ruah of arrogance. The Gemara says that one who is arrogant has all the curses come upon him. If he has wine, it's going to spoil and it will turn to vinegar. The longer he keeps it, the more it's going to turn into vinegar. So Yosef wanted to let the father know that he didn't join
the culture of Rahavim. He's not from the Rahavim. His father should know that he's still a tzaddik. So he sends him back
wine that didn't turn sour
to show the father that he's not a Bagaivinik. So what was the significance of this? It was number one to bring out to the father that he didn't join the whole
culture.
The whole culture of Egypt. And he says, that's all people shot. That's all people shot. And then he says, all people rash, and he has another voice, that there's a din in Yeridaya, that there's a din of Kibbut Aviyah. So what happens if the son is the God of Ladok? So the Russian, the first person Kedushin, quotes the Maharam, Rutmer had a problem. When he became very famous, he became a great Odin Godel. So his father would stand up and he came into the room and he felt that that wasn't proper. There was a problem over here. He wanted the father to stand up. He felt he should stand up and the father comes in. So a very strange rush. The rush says that from the day that the Mount Rutmer became very, very great, he never saw the father. The father never visited him. He never visited the father because he didn't want to get involved.
Couldn't resolve
what to do. So this is quoted in Yeriday and Hilchot Kibbut Aviyah. So he says that Yosef asked the father to come to Mitzrayim. I'm the Mishmael Melech. So who's gonna stand for? So he sends the father Yayin Yoshin to demonstrate that I'm not at all a Baal Gaidenik. I'm gonna stand up when you come, and there won't be any problem when we meet each other. Who's gonna be mechaber who? I'm gonna be mechaber you. I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. That's the question of Baal Gaidenik.
And the Pasha's Vaigas, the Torah tells the way all the people in the tribe ran out of food and they all came to Yosef to buy. So first Yosef made one deal, then another deal, then another deal, and finally one of the deals was that all of the fields belong to Paro. Yeah. All about walls and the Satan Chamishis to Paro. Baha Yodos Yu Lachem Mizera HaSoda. 20% goes tax to Paro, and 80% they keep. He could have said Paket also. He could have said, I want 80%. He could have said anything. He could have said, I want 99%. He could have said anything he wanted. Why did he give you so much? Why did he give him 80% and he only took 20%? So one of them, of course, he says that he understood the human psychology. That if you have, let's say, a slave society, and the slaves know that as much as they're going to work, they're not going to get it. Like any communist, they're going to get chicken. They don't want to work. But if you have a capitalistic society, and whatever your idea, you keep. So there's more of an incentive to work. So that's what he understood that. So he said, you work the field, 80% belongs to you, now only take 20%. So they worked so hard, the 20% that he took turned out to be more than if he would have said, for parents, I want 80%. If he would have demanded 80%, they're going to get busted. So the 80% would have been nothing. But now that they keep 80%, so they had an incentive to do a lot of work. So the same is true. The Gemara says we brought in mitzvahs and mice and poison and we would have heard. A lot of times, people are religiously inspired to learn and to dive in and to do mitzvahs, all the same shemites. But how long can you have this same shemites going for the Spanish long that can for his purpose and his purpose for what's going to be for me? So the Gemara has a lot of one of the Amorim when he would sit down to learn, he would say, look, he would talk to his Mishamas and he would say, look, I'm learning Tanakh for you. I'm learning Gemara for you. I'm gaining myself. Of course, in the middle, when you learn, you accomplish for the whole world. You're doing the mitzvah for the Rabbanu Shalom, you're accomplishing for the whole world also. But we have to keep in mind that when we do mitzvahs and when we learn, we accomplish for ourselves as well. If we wouldn't have that sense of accomplishing for ourselves, it would be like this in context of the capitalistic system. So that's what the Amorim and the Gemara says, Loch Tanoi and Loch Tanoi. I'm gaining from my Nishama also. I'm gaining a lot for myself. So you keep that in mind, not just for others.
In this segment, the Torah describes the way Yosef finally reveals himself to his brothers. And the brothers were so petrified, they were so overwhelmed, it says that they weren't able to speak to him. He didn't follow me upon him. So what did he say? What kind of musa did he say? So the Chavetz Chaim points out in one of his sermons, he didn't say anything, he just said, Ani Yosef. Hayi Rabbi Chai. So what was the Techocha? So the Beis Halevi has a whole famous interpretation. Hayi Rabbi Chai. That was the Techocha.
Yeah.
The Pasha Pshad, what did he say? Hayi Rabbi Chai. I kept on asking, Kesedah, is my father still alive? So what did he ask again? Is my father? I just asked him 10 minutes ago. What did he ask again? So some of the Farshim say
that before, maybe they had some political reason, maybe they had some Zeitiger reason. Now that he says, I'm really here to tell me the truth, is the father still alive, or you tell me about the mice? That's how some of Arshim say. And the Beis HaLevi has his favorite interpretation. No, that was the Musar. He said, and how come you sold me when I was a young bacha? You weren't afraid the father's going to get a heart attack? Now all of a sudden you are afraid? He was screaming at them. Father lived through the, he didn't get a heart attack then? Not going to get a heart attack now either. So that's the Beis HaLevi claims that that was the Tekocha. But others say no. Other Rishonim say, Oyd Avichai just said, now tell me the truth, is he really alive? So he didn't give any Musar. He just said, Ani Yosef. I am Yosef. That was the whole Musar. So they were embarrassed to speak to him because they knew the truth that they had sold him. So that's what the Chafetz Chaim points out as a Medrash, the Yalkut Shemayim. The Chafetz Chaim just points out the Yalkut that the best Tekocha is when the person is Makir Es HaEmes. People do Averis and they fool themselves into believing that they're not doing anything wrong. When the person is Makir Es HaEmes, that's the biggest Tekocha. So the Medrash says, look what happened to Bilam. When Bilam was beating up his Asan, then the Asan said, I'm your Asan. I stay in his country. I'm your Asan. What's going on? He just said one word, I'm your Asan. And Bilam remembered what he did with the Asan, and he was embarrassed. So the Chafetz Chaim quotes that Lossi Lovo, there are Midrashim. It doesn't say the Befeirish and Tanakh says Midrashim that say that Lossi Lovo, the Rabban Shalom, will be Dan people on the Yoy Madir, Hagar Vaneira, he will be Dan people for all the Averis. He won't have to give it any Techacha. He will just be Megala himself and say, I am the Rabban Shalom. And the people will melt away. They'll just have pachat. They'll be makir. This is the Rabban Shalom. We will mamre kenegdoi. That's a similar thought. They quote in the name of the Baal Shem Tov on the Pasuk that says, Kel Nekomas Hashem, Kel Nekomas Hafia. The Rabban Shalom will just appear. He'll just appear and say, Ani Hashem. He'll just be mafia. And that'll already be the Techacha. That's the Ikman like. When a person is makir Semes, that's the best Techacha.